Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world.
This is Karen Dunbar, your guest host, reporting for Managing Safety. Today, we're talking to Don Ingram, who's an owner, operator, and sailplane flight school owner. We've got a lot to talk about. Welcome, Don. We're glad to have you today.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Give us just a little overview about sailplanes and soaring, first of all, and then we're going to talk about some specifics.
Okay, excellent. Well, my first introduction to soaring, I think, along with many other folks, was watching on television. It seemed like the kind of thing that James Bond would do, and he flew these gorgeous white sailplanes with the 60, 80-foot wingspans, and I thought it was just the neatest thing ever. And basically what it is, they're either single or two-place gliders, and we're pulled aloft by a tow plane, usually, up to altitude, maybe 2, 3, 4,000 feet. And once we're up there, we release from the tow, and we can soar and stay in the rising warm air currents indefinitely, actually, and fly 6, 7, 8, 9 hours a day, and even longer than that if we use ridge lift. So essentially that's what soaring is. It's using nature's natural forces to stay aloft.
Sounds like a lot of fun, but it sounds like it could be a little nerve-wracking on the landing. How do you do that?
Yeah, how do you do the landing? It's very much the same way as power, but without the option to go around again. So as we lose altitude, whether it be at the end of the day or because we have messed up our strategy and we didn't catch a thermal, we move back in ever closer to the airport, so that when it does come is time to land, we can announce on the radio if that's what the procedure is at that particular airport, and then do a pattern and land. We don't have tricycle gear; we just have one main landing gear wheel and a tail wheel, so we have to keep the wings level all the way to a stop. But otherwise, pretty much the same as power.
Do you have chase crews that come after you to pick up the plane, or do you just get another tow aloft and head back to your home place?
Yeah, good question. There's two types of soaring that most people do. And I would say, I'm guessing at a percentage here, maybe 85-90% of soaring is done within range of the airport. So at the end of the day, when you're done flying or done with your flight, you go back and land at the airport. And it's usually a matter of pulling it a couple hundred yards over to the hangar or to the trailer to put it away. Those of us that have discovered cross-country flying and contest flying, it's a whole different deal. And then we do need a chase crew. In fact, my 8-year-old son's name is Chase, and he doesn't know why yet. And what we do is we'll fly hundreds of miles, oftentimes doing triangular flights or straight-out flights. And we need somebody to come and, when we finally do set it down, help us disassemble it, put it in the trailer, and bring it back home again. So, we do that too.
That's pretty interesting. Now, I understand that you're involved with a small sort of subset of soaring and sailplanes, and this is a technical aspect of how you launch the plane. Could you give us an idea of what you do in winch launching? What is it, and how does it work?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good way to phrase it. It's a sort of a subset of soaring, getting airborne. The typical way is that we have a powerful tow plane, a single-engine plane. We'll taxi out in front of the glider that is usually waiting on the runway, and then we connect a 200-foot rope to the nose of the glider or to the CG hook. The tow plane pulls the line tight. We exchange a few signals, and the tow plane takes off, and our mission is to follow him. If he turns left or right or goes up or down, we just stay in position behind him. The second most common way to get airborne, and actually this is the first most common way in Europe, is winch launching. And this does not use a tow plane. What a winch is, it's a very powerful engine that turns a drum. And on this drum, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6,000 feet of line. It's either cable or a high-tech spectra rope. And the way that works is the winch is a stationary device at the far end of the runway. The retrieve car will pull the line down to the opposite end of the runway. We'll hook the glider up to that. Again, we have a good communication with the person who's sitting in the winch itself, and letting them know when we're ready to go. And when everything is set, the winch will gently take up the slack, and then when we give it the signal, the winch accelerates and basically winds in that mile of rope, however long it might be, onto the drum. very briskly, very powerfully, and not unlike a kid looking to get their kite in the air by setting the kite on the grass and running into the wind and watching the kite go up. A sailplane is launched exactly the same way. They reel in the rope and into the wind we go, and we can go from a dead standstill to being about 2,000 feet above the ground in about 45 seconds. And at the top of the launch, the glider releases and the winch reels in the rope and lands the rope in front of the winch again, and they pull it back out and ready for another launch.
That sounds like a pretty powerful motor. How many RPMs? I mean, do you have any idea?
Yeah, the engine that I've got and the winch that I purchased, and the winch that I have is, there were 15 of them built by the Canadian Air Force for their Air Cadet program, although there are many manufacturers around the world that make winches. I shouldn't say many, but there are some. I've got a 350 cubic inch Chevy engine powering it. It's a 330 horsepower Corvette engine. Very nice, very powerful, and we keep it below red line during the launches, just because we don't want to wreck anything. So we're usually running somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 RPM, probably most of the time between 3,000 and 4,000 RPM. But the actual speed that imparts on the glider, we're usually flying about between 55 and 65 knots is our airspeed as we climb away at about a 45 degree angle.
Are there safety issues that you have to be aware of using winch launches as opposed to the more traditional aerotow?
Yes. With the traditional aerotow, the launch is a very gradual process. As you can imagine, the single engine airplane, even with a powerful motor, 235 or 260 horse engine, the initial acceleration is very, very gradual and very, very pleasant and slow and predictable. With a winch launch, the rope is already tight. It's being wound around to maybe a 2-foot diameter drum. So we're not sort of beating the air into the submission with the propeller to get everything going. We're winding it around a drum, and we have basically perfect traction. It's not even rubber on a road, so to speak. So to answer your question about safety, what that basically means is that everything happens quickly. We accelerate quickly, we get in the air quickly, and we rotate quickly. And by that, it's 0 to 60 in about 3 seconds, 3 to 4 seconds. And then about 3 to 4 seconds after that, we've rotated into a 45 degree climb. Mm-hmm. So a pilot needs to be aware that if anything abnormal happens during that initial acceleration and rotation, the answer is to pull the yellow knob, which releases the rope from the glider, and we push the stick forward and land. So the safety issues are usually around the rapid launch of the sailplane.
Yeah. I've never seen this happen, so I'm sort of visualizing what I think it might be like. And another question comes to my mind about safety. Mm-hmm. Is this drum pulling this line back fast enough so that the line doesn't hit the ground? What about people who are underneath this line once you cut loose?
Yeah, we had an occasion yesterday, and I'm operating out of Immokalee, just inland from Naples, a little 20-25 miles. I've been there about 6 weeks now, 7 weeks. We were ready to launch, everything looked fine, and we were in communication with the winch, and we're ready to go, and we gave the stop signal because I could see that there was a dog walking down between the winch and us. So we stopped operations and sent a truck out there to kind of shoo the dog away. Mm-hmm. But your point's well taken. When we have winch operations going, we have all that line out there, it is a consideration we do not have with aerotow. And we have to make sure that there are no people between the glider and the winch. And usually we're operating next to a runway, so the only movement out at the airport out in that vicinity is taxiing airplanes, landing and taking off.
As I said, we're talking with Don Ingram about sailplanes and soaring. We'll be right back in just a few moments. We're back with Don Ingram talking about sailplanes and winch launches. This is Karen Dunbar reporting for you for Managing Safety and Flightline Radio. So, Don, we talked some about winch launch and how it works, What are the biggest obstacles you're finding to the acceptance of winch launching here in the U.S.? You said it's big in Europe.
Yeah, it's huge in Europe. In fact, Germany, which is sort of looked upon as the, you know, the fatherland of soaring, is they do about 1 million launches a year. And about 750 to 800,000 of those launches are by winch. Mm-hmm. It's so it is very, it's very popular over there. It's not as common here. We've been using AeroTow for many years, almost since its inception. And the reason for that is it's a little unclear why it hasn't caught on here as much as it has overseas. Although I will say overseas, they fuel has been more expensive. They have noise issues with the surrounding villages in Germany and France and in England, where they can't be flying little noisy airplanes over the farms and bothers the animals and the farmers, and they just won't have it over there. We haven't had that restriction here, so that may be one of the reasons for it. But the biggest reason, or the biggest obstacles, I think, to winch launching here in this country, I'd say the first one is just exposure. I've had this winch that I've been operating now in a commercial environment for a little over 2 years, and I'm just amazed that pilots who come down and fly with me, and also I sell gift certificates at Christmas, so I get non-pilots who come down for rides. They are thrilled by it. It's the neatest thing they've done. It's sort of like a combination of an e-ticket ride at Disneyland or whatever they have out here, Disney World. I'll find out soon too. But and piloting an aircraft, so it's fun, it's fast, and it's very economical. So the reaction I'm getting from everybody is this is just a great thing. So number one obstacle I'd say is exposure. We just need to basically show it to more people, and then it is very economical. It doesn't burn very much gas, so that's going to be a big plus. It costs about a dollar to launch a glider to 2,000 feet, which is compared to a tow plane. That's a huge savings. Mm-hmm. And then most of the airports that you might consider using a winch at in this country would be municipal airports with general aviation going on. And so a well-documented, well-thought-out, well-communicated plan of operation is also essential, so that you can go to the airport management and say, we're going to base the glider here, we'll put the winch here, these are the radio calls we'll do, here's how we'll behave. And usually everyone is thrilled by it, even the locals who have no prior interest in soaring just love to watch it, because it's a neat spectacle to watch. And so I think to remove that obstacle is just a good professionally run operation will go a long way.
So what does it feel like?
It is amazing. In fact, I tell just before the launch actually begins, usually 2 or 3 seconds before the glider moves, I tell the passenger on their first launch, I said, I know I told you that this is going to accelerate fast, but I just want to tell you again, this is going to accelerate fast, because there's one thing to know it and another thing to experience it. Because it pins you back in your seat as you accelerate 0 to 60 in about 3 seconds. And so you're airborne almost immediately. If there's any kind of a headwind, even a 10 knot or 10 mile an hour headwind, you only roll on the ground maybe 50 feet and you're in the air. And as soon as you're in the air, the rotation begins. So as soon as your brain begins to process that fabulous acceleration that we dream about in our sports cars and stuff like that, no sooner does that sort of settle in than the rotation into a 45 degree climb is experienced. And that is very cool. That's, you sort of feel like you're on a shuttle launch or an aircraft carrier launch or something like that. And you maintain that 45 degree angle as you ascend, and everything just shrinks away so fast. It's over 3,000 feet per minute ascent rate. And within 40, 45 seconds, you hear the click and you're a couple thousand feet up and everything's dead quiet because you're in a sailplane. So it's an amazing experience, and you just sit there, and most folks I fly with are just dead quiet at the top of the launch. They don't say anything for the longest time because their brain is still kind of processing what they went through. And what's interesting is normally glider pilots, we're addicted to powerful thermals where we can circle and gain altitude and climb up to cloud base and go someplace. With winch launching, you're sort of torn. You oftentimes will launch into a thermal, it will be going up, but you don't know if you should open the air brakes and go back down and do another winch launch, or if you should carry on and climb up in the thermal. So that's about the best compliment a winch launch could get, is that it's It's vying for your attention under the thermal.
Okay, so the pilot's making the decision then to disconnect to the line that's launching you.
Yes, at any time during the launch, the pilot can pull a knob in the sailplane and release the rope. On a typical winch launch, though, we don't actually do anything. We don't do much in the glider. The winch driver, as he is powering us up and driving us up the climb, once he sees we're about 70 degrees from where he is, so 90 degrees would be directly over the winch driver's head, 70 degrees would be 30 degrees less than that, he'd begin reducing the power. And in the sailplane, as we're climbing, you can feel that reduction of power. Everything sort of gets soft, like an elevator just starting to drop. And when you feel that sensation, we push the stick forward and we bring the horizon up to where we normally see it when we're flying. And you'll hear a little click off the bottom of the sailplane. And there's an automatic back release for the rope. So we don't have to touch a thing. It clicks right off. We do pull the release a couple times to make sure that it's gone. Mm-hmm. And that's all there is. Yeah, so it's all pretty automated.
Wow, it sounds like great stuff piled on top of an already amazing experience.
Yes, that's how I look at it. That's how I look at it.
What improvements do you see coming down the road? How is winch launching going to get better?
Yes, well, there are a number of companies now that are investing a lot of money and a lot of research into developing new winches. The first thing that they're attending to is they're all using the new Spectra rope, the new, I think it's a UHMCP, ultra high molecular weight rope, which is a very light, very, very strong rope. It has no elasticity, so if it breaks, it's not lashing around threatening anybody, it just falls. So they're all using that. They'll continue to use that. They're also using computer automation so that the winch driver in most of the winches that are in play now around the world, it takes a skilled winch driver to know what type of glider's on the other end of the rope a mile down there and how much wind there is, and if there's a wind gradient or if there's a wind shear. The winch driver uses his skill gained over hundreds or thousands of launches to give that glider a good launch. And it takes a lot of skill to be a good winch driver. You can get most any glider up with, but to do it well, it takes some talent. The new winches are automated, so you can put in, I'm launching Grobe 103, I get 10 knots of headwind, go. And they push a button, and the computer will ramp up the speed and give the glider a very consistent, very good launch. So that's the first improvement. And the second one is there's a tension control. That is being introduced now so that the tension on the line is maintained at all times by the computer rather than the pilot by pulling back the stick or easing the stick forward. The computer will make sure that the line tension remains constant even through wind shears and stuff. So that's pretty cool technology.
Really, really interesting. Yeah, so if you land off airport, can you still get a tow aloft? Do you have to have some special modification to your sailplane to use this method?
To use the winch launch. Yeah, to use the winch launch, yes, that's a good question. I won't launch any gliders that don't have a CG hook. Mm-hmm. So center of gravity hook, which is usually just in front of the main wheel. And the reason for that is it has a automatic back release feature, for one thing, as opposed to the mechanism that is in the nose of many gliders. Mm-hmm. And the second one is, the second reason is if you launch a glider from the nose, as you're in the climb, the pull of the rope is trying to pull the nose down, so you're fighting it with the elevator, and it's not civilized. You can stall the tail for one thing, which doesn't spell catastrophe, but it results in porpoising, and you don't get a very high launch, and the stresses are, the plane wasn't designed for those stresses. So a CG hook is a real, real good idea. I insist on it, and other than that, nope, anything can go.
So how many places around the country could people go if they're interested in taking a launch, at least, in one of these winch launched sailplanes?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there may be only one or two other commercial winch operations in the country other than mine. Mm-hmm. And I think there's one in Reno. There might be one somewhere else. The other winches, the other maybe 10 other winches that are in use in this country are at clubs. So if that club has a policy where you can kind of join a membership for a day, if you just want to experience that, then you could do it that way too. The SSA has a website, Soaring Society of America, ssa.org, and you can click on the map of the country and any state within that map, and it will show you every glider port. And if you click on any glider port, it'll show you what equipment they have. And the winch would be included if they've got one.
Do you have a website of your own?
I do. Crosscountrysoaring.com. One string of characters. Yeah,
crosscountrysoaring. All right. We've been talking to Don Ingram today about sailplanes and winch launches, an import from Europe, actually. Thank you so much for joining us for our Managing Safety series, Don. We appreciate the information you've given us today and wish you great luck and good soaring in the future.
Thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.